I do have an update for you as far as the Hansons. Brother Derek Hanson, I talked to him, and they did not get their pro bono thing for their visas. Okay, they were supposed to be able to, they were waiting there in Miami waiting for that. They did not get it, so they have now traveled back to the Northwest, and they're going to be here for a few months waiting for them to contact them, and then they'll go back down to Miami in a few months. And so that's kind of where they're at. I may actually have him come preach if he is in the area. And so just continue to pray about the Hansons. All right. Open your Bibles tonight to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, and look if you would, starting at verse 12. Verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, it says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of thy merchandise that they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy vision by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." Now, when you read this portion here of Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll see that there is actually a dual meaning here. You'll see that many times in the Old Testament. You'll see where something is addressed to a certain person, but then there's also a dual meaning because it's being addressed to actually another person at the same time. You'll notice here that the passage is actually written to the king of Tyrus, or written about the king of Tyrus. But at the same time, because there are some obvious things in that passage that cannot be applied just to a king here on earth, we know that part of that passage is also applied to Satan himself. Okay. Now, you say, well, why is the reason that? Well, we don't know, but I will say this. There's a possibility that maybe Satan was in the king of Tyrus at the time, okay, or possessed him at that time. So, but we don't know for sure. What we do know is there is a dual application here. Now, in these verses, we are told quite a bit about the devil, both before before his fall and what caused his fall. You'll notice in verse 14 here, it says that he was a cherub. Okay, now I'm not going to get into all deep into different types of, you know, angels and all those sorts of things, but he was not an angel as the Bible would describe it. He was a cherub. In fact, he said he was a covering cherub. If you read over in Ezekiel chapter 10, it talks about how there were four cherubs. And also in Ezekiel chapter 1, how there were four cherubs around the throne of God. And then he would have been the fifth in covering cherub. Also, notice in verse 13, it says his body was covered with precious stones, and it names those stones that his body was covered with. You can imagine how beautiful that would have been to see the glory of God reflecting off those stones. Also, if you'll notice in verse 13, it seems that musical instruments were inside of his body. If you'll notice there, it says the workman at the end of verse 13, it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, I tell you, I could stop right there and I could preach a long time on the effect that the devil can have on music and how he can use music. He knows what he's doing. Amen. How many of you know that music can change the way you feel, your mood and everything else? Now, that should get you thinking on that. I mean, if it could change your mood, if you all of a sudden speed up the music and the beat, and all of a sudden your foot gets heavy, and you're all of a sudden you're going 95 mile an hour down the highway because of the music that's playing, and you happen to find yourself slowing down to about 35, and when all of a sudden it starts slowing, the music can affect upon your flesh, okay, and your mind, because it depressing music. You listen to some country music, and the next thing you know, you just want to go out and, I don't know, you just get all depressed, and then sometimes you listen to other music and it makes you, happy, and so that's something. Again, I don't want to get too far into that, but certainly that's something to consider, because I mean, after all, he knows music pretty well. Also, you'll notice that it says that he is the sum of all wisdom and beauty, or he was the sum of all wisdom and beauty. Now, that too should tell you something. If he's the sum of all wisdom, that means he knows what he's doing. He's smart, smarter than us, okay? He was the sum of all wisdom and beauty. He was perfect and had been perfect from the day that he was created. He also had complete access and could dwell with any of the three heavens. Now, how many of you understand tonight that there are three heavens mentioned in your Bible? Three heavens. All right, turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, look if you would at verse 20. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So you have heaven number one right here. And that's where birds and fowls and us, and it's basically the atmosphere that we're breathing right now, okay? You go too high and all of a sudden you can't breathe that atmosphere anymore. It might be a hint that maybe that's when the heaven starts to change into something different, okay? When nothing can live up there, okay? So you got fowls of the air and us and everything else. We are on the first heaven, all right? Look, if you would, back in Genesis 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. How many of you understand that the birds and fowls of the air don't swim? They don't fly. They don't fly where the sun and moon are and the stars. All right, so that means, and it referred to it as heaven, so that's heaven number two. That's where the sun and moon and stars are at. All right, now flip over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 2. Remember, Paul, probably when he was stoned at Lystra, it says here, he said, in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, it says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, or I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Okay? Talking about him going up to the third heaven. He went up there and continued to read that passage. It said that he saw paradise when he was up there. Third heaven. That would not be heaven number one. Would be heaven number two. It would be heaven number three. And that would be the abode of God. You say, how do you know that? Because paradise, remember, paradise used to be down until the Lord led captivity captive. And so he led those people to heaven when he, after he arose the third day. Okay, so when he led captivity captive, he did that because no man cometh the Father but by me, he said. So now paradise is up in the third heaven. That's where the boat of God is. Now, remember this, when before the devil fell, before he was cast out, according to Ezekiel in our passage, he had access to the first, to the third heaven, to the second heaven, to the third heaven, to the earth. He had access to it all. And he would have abode with all the other angels up in heaven, up in the third heaven. But iniquity was found in him, according to the scriptures. And when when iniquity was found in him, the Bible says that he is now filled with violence. And after he's cast down, he is never seen. After he's cast down, he's never really seen in his own body from that point on in Scripture. Now, it's a strange thing. The only time that it never says he was in his own body. Now, if you study Scripture, you know what his own body looks like now. And so, obviously, that was not who was there tempting the Lord in the wilderness. It was the devil, but he wasn't in his own body. You never see him in his own body after he fell, okay? And you certainly never see him anymore with the stones, and you never see him anymore with the tablets coming out of him and those sorts of things, okay? He's never seen in his own body anymore after that, and that's one of the reasons he's called the devil. That's for another night. But iniquity was found in him. Therefore, God cast Lucifer out of the mountain of God, which is located in the third heaven. Again, if you'd like to study that out, if you'd like to look at the mountain of God, you'll see that. And it says here that he was going to cast the devil to the ground. He says in our text in verse 17, he says, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, that casting down to the ground and laying him before kings is future. It has not happened yet, okay, when it talks about him being cast to the ground. And so God cast the devil down because of the iniquity that was found in him. You say, what iniquity was found in him? Well, notice in our text in Ezekiel chapter 28, look at verse 17. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You say, what does that mean? That means he got proud because he was so beautiful. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Now, how did he corrupt his wisdom by his beauty? Well, the answer is by pride. He thought too much of himself. He was beautiful. He was bright, and he corrupted his wisdom. Now, how far did it get? Well, hold your place here and turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, he thought a lot of himself because he was so beautiful, because he was so bright. I mean, can you imagine if he's the covering cherub and he's above around the throne of God, and the throne of God is reflecting off of him with a brightness of the God, of the glory of God? Can you imagine, I mean, the brightness and the beauty he would have been? Well, he started to look at that. He started to look at himself and started thinking of himself as being something, really something. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it doesn't stop. Look at what it says in Isaiah 14, starting verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? By the way, if your Bible says thou morning star, you got the wrong Bible. Just saying that. Okay, there are some Bibles that call Lucifer here the morning star. And there's only one morning star according to the book of Revelation, and that's Jesus Christ. But it says here in verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I. Notice how many times it says I in the passage. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now that right there tells you right there that He had a throne. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, again, if you read this passage here in Isaiah chapter 14, you'll notice that it too has a dual meaning. The passage was actually written to the king of Babylon, but we also know it says specifically Lucifer, okay? And so you see the dual meaning there. And again, it could be because, you know, the devil had some control over the leaders of Babylon. Now, when you say that, you say, well, now, wait a second, Pastor, you're getting the call kind of weird on me there. Now, listen, if you read over in the book of Daniel, you'll find out that the devil has power over leaders of countries. Now, if you doubt that, take a look at Hitler. Now, I understand that men can do wicked things, and I know that the heart of man is desperately wicked. I understand that. But for a person to kill over 6 million Jews, don't tell me the devil didn't have part in that, okay? He did, all right? And so there's no doubt that people can be controlled by the devil in the way that they're thinking and the things that they do. No doubt about that, okay? But here we see the dual meaning. We see it written to Babylon, to the king of Babylon, but also to the devil himself. And we see that Lucifer had pride. It was all about him. That's how many times he kept on saying, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to be like God. Hey, listen, that hasn't changed. You realize the devil today wants to be worshipped? He wants to be worshipped just like he wants to be worshipped as God. You know, and when you see people worshiping these false idols and you see who's behind that, it's just a horrible thing. And so because the iniquity of pride was found in him, God cast him down. You say, well, when did this happen? When did God cast him down? Well, we are not told the exact time that the devil cast, or that God cast him down. Because remember this, when he was up here in the third heaven, that's when iniquity was found in him. That's when he started to look at himself as being all bright and shiny, and then he started to say, I will ascend, my throne will be above God's throne, and those sorts of things. And God said he would cast him down. You say, when did that happen? When was the devil cast down? When was it found in him? When did these things happen? Well, again, we're not told the exact time, but we do know two things for sure. Number one, we know that he fell before he came to Eve tempting her. Now, we know that. How do you know that? Well, number one, he's not in his body, and he certainly isn't a cherub with all the diamonds and all those things all over him, and the different stones. He wasn't like that. He was in the body of a serpent, and he comes before Eve, and he does not have good intent when he comes. Would you agree with that? I mean, when he comes in there, he's questioning God's word. He's adding to God's word. He's denying what God said to be true. He calls God a liar, basically, because God said one thing and he said, no, it's not like that. And so that's what he is. So obviously the pride has already been found in him. The iniquity has already been found in him when he comes and tempts Eve. Okay, so we know that for sure. The other thing that we know for sure is that his fall had to have happened before day three of the creation. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 1 again. I told you, I should have just told you to stay there, I guess. But Genesis chapter 1. And I want to show you something. Again, we are not told the exact time that the devil fell. We're not told that. When iniquity was found in him, we're never told the exact time. But in Genesis chapter 1, at verse 12, you're going to notice something pretty interesting. Notice Genesis 1:12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening and the morning were the third day. You say, how in the world does that tell you that the devil had to fall before day three? Well, when it's talking about the trees in of the field and everything being created here on day three, can you name two of those trees that were created? You had the tree of life. That was one. That's when the trees were made. You also had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wait a second. The knowledge of good and evil? What knowledge of evil would there have been? Something evil had to happen before day three. Now you say, when? I have no idea. But I do know this. The knowledge of good and evil was made or was created on day three. And if there's a knowledge of evil, then there had to be an evil that was done for there to be knowledge of it. Okay, so what I'm saying is it would have had to have happened before day three. You say, exactly what day it happened? Don't know. Couldn't tell you. Okay, but that's what we do know. We also know that God cast the devil out of heaven because of his pride. We know that. It says here that, in fact, when it says in Ezekiel 28:17, it says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground," he says. "I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." But that casting down of the devil to the ground did not happen all at once. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. When the Lord says, "I'm going to cast you down to the ground," that was a prophecy, and part of that prophecy, part of it was true then, okay? But it wasn't finished, and it won't be finished until much later, all right? And so when he said, "I'm going to cast thee to the ground," he did not cast him all the way down to the earth then. He did not do that, okay? What he did do is cast him out of heaven number three, to where his abode is no longer in heaven number three. He has no authority in the heaven number three anymore. He cast him down the first time, or when he cast him down, cast number one, he went to heaven number two. So now he went from heaven number three to heaven number two. All right. In fact, when he went down from heaven number three to heaven number two, a third of the angels were also cast out at that time as well, okay, for following him in rebellion. And this is what Jesus was referring to in Luke 10:18, when he said this. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And notice he says, I beheld, that's past tense. He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." He beheld him falling from the third heaven to the second heaven. And so, and remember this, he has no more authority in the third heaven. Now, here's what it says, if you want to write down just some verses here. In Ephesians 6:11-12, it says this: "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In high places. All right, now here's something else. When he was cast down, remember, once he was cast up, when he was cast from the third heaven down, he no longer has authority here. He has authority from here all the way down to the earth. How do we know that? Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came tempting him? Here is what it says in Matthew 4:8-9. It says, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." You know, the devil is a liar, and he's a father of lies. But when he offered those kingdoms to the Lord, if the Lord would bow down to him, he was making, what I'm telling you is those kingdoms are his right now. If you don't believe that, watch the news for about 15 minutes. Amen? These people come around and say, "Well, you know, the Lord is ruling things." Listen, the Lord is still on the throne, and nothing happens without his permission. But don't sit there and tell me that he's ruling this earth right now, because if he is ruling this earth, look what's happening. I mean, when you see the wickedness going on in this world, it's easy to see that really the devil is in charge of the kingdoms of this world right now. But it's not always going to be like that. The reason the Lord is absolutely sinless, and I'll tell you this, he was offering something that when the devil says, "If you'll get on your knees and bow, I'll give you the kingdoms of this whole world and the glory of them," may I tell you that when the Lord comes and rule and reign, all those kingdoms are going to be his anyway, okay? So that is, in another time, that's all going to be his. And so the devil here, he was cast out of the third heaven to where he can no longer abode there, and he has no more authority there. But he does have authority in the second and first heaven at this point. Now, just because he doesn't have authority there, that doesn't mean that he cannot visit there with the permission of God. Turn over to Job chapter 1. Because in Job chapter 1, that's exactly what you see happening. He has no authority there. He does not abode there. But with the permission of God, he can visit there. In Job chapter 1, I'll wait until everybody gets there. Job chapter 1, and look at verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." In the Old Testament, the phrase sons of God always refers to angels. The only one ever in the Old Testament who was ever called a son of God was Luke. It was in the book of Luke, and it was Adam. Okay, you find that in the first couple chapters of Luke. Adam was called a son of God, but that was before he fell. When you see sons of God in there, those are talking about angels. And they are in the third heaven talking to God here. And it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Now look what he says. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." Why? Because that's where he abodes, heaven number two and heaven number one. He abodes in all this area here. But he doesn't abode there anymore. He couldn't say, "Well, I've been hanging out up here in heaven at my place." No, he couldn't say that. Where have you been? "I've been down in here." He doesn't have the authority anymore up there. He doesn't have the abode up there anymore. But yet he was able to come before the Lord with the Lord's permission and come before him with the sons of God. So that is the first casting down, when it cast him down from the third heaven to the second heaven. Now, the second casting down. Turn, if you would, over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and look if you would, starting at verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," dragon being the devil, "and the dragon fought and his angels," that would be those one-third angels with him, "and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens," plural, "and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." So now, he was up here in the second heaven. Now he's cast down to the earth itself. He no longer has authority here. He has no longer has authority there. He's only in the first heaven now, and he's on the earth. Now, Revelation chapter 12 is a tribulation passage. It's telling you exactly what happened. Kind of gives you a whole history of kind of what happened with the birth of Christ and everything else. But the whole passage here in Revelation chapter 12 is talking about during the tribulation, when you have the Antichrist on this earth, which is basically the devil personified, and he's ruling things and he's doing things on this earth, and it says that the devil is cast down upon this earth, and he knows he has a short time. Why? Because he's wise and he knows what the scriptures say. You say, "Well, how much time does he have?" Well, about, if you count the first 3.5 years, he'd have 7 years, which would be the 7 years or the time of Jacob's trouble. But if you look at when he actually becomes in power and where he's actually doing wicked things and he's persecuting people, then you'd say he's got 3.5 years. So he knows he's got between 7 and 3.5 years once he's cast down on this earth to do what he's going to do. And so what he's going to do, he's going to persecute the woman. The woman here is Israel, okay? And so that's what he's doing. He's persecuting the woman. Now listen, you know what that means? That means that the tribulation period, I'm not saying that there won't be Gentiles caught up in the thing, but the tribulation period is for the nation of Israel. That's what it's for, and that's who he's persecuting there. And so that's what it's talking about, him being the Antichrist himself, persecuting the Jews. And this is what it was talking about in our opening passage in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, when it says, I will cast thee to the ground and lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. That's what it was talking about in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Okay, that is the second casting down. He's down on the earth during the tribulation. But then we chapter 20. And look at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now, if you read over Luke chapter 16, you'll read over there that when you have the earth, in the heart of the earth, you had paradise. And then you had hell over here. And remember in Luke chapter 16 that you had Lazarus and Abraham. They were in Abraham's bosom, and he looked at, and the rich man in hell looked across, and he said, you know, have him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. And Abraham said, there is a great fixed gulf between that no man can pass. More than likely, that is where, when it says the devil is put into the bottomless pit, more than likely, that's where it's talking about. More than likely, okay? It's talking about him being put in a bottomless pit. And also, the Bible tells you that there was a seal placed upon that where he can't get out. Again, I can't stress enough to you, a great study in the Bible, if you start studying about the seals of God, because when you look at the seals that God places, in fact, if you just look up just the word seals, to where something is sealed, you see the significance of it. Because like when Daniel was placed in the lion's den, then they said that there was a seal placed upon there. What that seal meant that nobody could open up to let Daniel out. You had to break that seal in order to open it up. And only the king could break that seal. Okay? And so that means only he had the authority. The Bible says that a seal is placed upon him and he's not able to get out of there. Not even the devil can get out of there because a seal is placed on top of that bottomless pit. He can't get out. Why? He doesn't have the authority. That's the authority of the king on that, to where nobody can let him out. Even he can't get out. Okay? And you say, well, what's the significance of that? The Bible says that we're sealed until the day of redemption. Now, you know what that means? That means the devil can't break that seal. If he could, he could break that one right there and come out before his time. But it says he's sealed and he can't get out until he's let out. Why? He doesn't have the authority. Man doesn't have the authority either. We saw that over in the book of Daniel because only the king did. So who has the authority to break the seal that you're sealed with? Listen, when that Bible says you're sealed to the day of redemption, that means ain't nobody can break that seal. You're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Whether you want to or not, that's just the way it is. And why wouldn't everybody want to go to heaven? Beats me, okay? But that's what I'm talking about, seals. But what I'm talking about here is the devil is put in this bottomless pit. He's there for 1,000 years, or almost 1,000 years, but towards the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says he'll be loosed for a short time. And during that time that he is loosed, believe it or not, he's going to deceive many people. Now, that if anything should tell you about just how bad mankind is, I mean, you think about this. Jesus Christ, God himself, is ruling this earth for 1,000 years. Can you imagine how good it is? I mean, how good it's going to be? Now, some people make the argument and they say, well, yes, but, you know, today we see how bad it is with the devil doing what he's doing, and then when we see the Lord ruling and reigning, we're going to see the big difference. So you know, we get the advantage because those people over there at the end of 1,000 years, all they've ever seen is the Lord rule. Yes, but it's still God. I mean, things are wonderful. It's going to be heaven on earth. It's going to be great. But yet, it says, the Bible says, when the devil is loose for a little season, he is going to gather an army as the sand of the sea. That's how many people he's going to deceive. That's amazing. And it just goes to show you the wickedness of man and how easily we can be tempted to do the wrong thing. Notice in verse 7 it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He has to be loosed. He can't get out himself. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That's a lot of people. That's what he's going to do. But then, when that happens, then comes the fourth and final time that he is cast down. In Revelation chapter 20, look if you would at verse 9. Fourth and final time he's cast down. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. By the way, when that happens, you'll read over in the book of 2 Peter, it says even the elements will melt. That's at this time. When that fire comes down and devours them, because how do you know that? Because the next thing you see is a great white throne of judgment where heaven and earth fled away from the Lord. And then after that, you see a new heaven and new earth. So when it comes down here, it says, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And look what it says. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. That is the last time that he will be cast down. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the time when the Lord is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. But isn't it going to be nice when there is no more devil? Now, listen, that doesn't mean that the devil made you do anything that you've ever done. It is still our choice. But you know, not to have an accuser of the brethren, not to have a tempter, not to have the father of lies, running things on this earth. I can't wait till he's cast down. Those are the four times that he was cast down, okay? And when the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 28, he says, I will cast you to the ground, he wasn't lying. He did cast him to the ground. It's just some of that is still future and hasn't happened yet, okay? And so one of these days, it'll happen. I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's go ahead and stop there tonight.